Both baseball and softball are starting their own unique streaks. Records are being broken left and right, and the final results from the powerlifting meet are in. Hello and welcome to episode 40 of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. And Kai, we're joined today by a Talking Dog hopeful, Aaron Spivey, a junior member of the track and field team who may be taking over my position when I graduate here in like 30 days. So Aaron, we got you on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, everybody. I'm Aaron Spivey. I'm from Oklahoma, Altus, Oklahoma. I'm a junior and I'm a triple jumper in Concordia, Nebraska University as well.
All right. Triple jump. That's
Yeah, we'll be talking about him just a little bit in the track meet, because I think you got second at the last meet.
Yeah, I did actually.
Yeah, so we're talking about the top two from this one.
That means he warrants a mention.
He does. He snuck in there.
He gets in the top two, because is this a top 2 day or a top 3 day?
This is a top 2 day. We had some good performances
top
this week.
I'm eager to see this going down.
Yeah, so our rule on the podcast, since track meets is a lot of names and a lot of times, if there's a lot of entries, right, you get a mention if you're in the top two. But if there's less entries, like if you're at nationals, then we can do the top three, talk a little bit about them more. But since we don't want this to be a hour and a half long podcast,
I'm sure we could keep going. Professor Beck would not like it.
I feel you on that one. We would get shut down immediately. But since we have the track and field athlete in the room with us, Kai, why don't we start with track and field? What have they been up to?
Yeah, let's do it. So they recently just had the Concordia invite, so anyone who was on campus this weekend would have been able to come out and watch that. It was just on April 5th, started at noon, had all the running events, the field events, all in one day here at Bulldog Stadium. And, like you mentioned, we're only doing top two today, which means it was quite a successful outing for the Bulldogs. So we'll start with the first place male athletes. So to kick it off, we had Lucas Corwin. He got first place in the 800. He did a 2 minute, 0.55 seconds. So two flat, 0.55. Next up, Trey Robertson. He got first place in the 5K with a 15:12.82. Him and Vaughn Hendrickson, you know, are All-American.
Sure.
He ran in 15:30s, didn't quite get on the podium, but they're both, you know, training together every day. They'll be right with each other.
Have they qualified yet? I don't know if we mentioned this on our last one. Would you know, Aaron?
Yeah, I don't think they're not qualified yet, but they're getting close to it. That's what I was saying on that one. But
yeah, they didn't make the mark in this one for sure. I don't know if they've done it in the first one.
No, it hasn't particularly in memory rise.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, and then we had our favorite event on the podcast.
Johnny Jurgen.
Not Johnny Jurgen, though. He still has
He was sick at that time. He was sick when he was going to work.
So we've got his Padawan. What's his name?
Yes, Lou Kamang. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's my boy right there. I like that. Like, he's been working with it.
But he took up the mantle, grabbed the baton, and walked with it. 25:50.36 to take the championship.
Is there a baton?
No.
Oh, that was just throw me off like that.
He's like, no, there's no baton with it.
That'd be kind of hype, though. Like a 1 mile.
A relay?
That's a good idea. I feel that.
A race walk?
Maybe we should try that.
No, we should not try that.
We'll write the NAIA. That'll be your parting gift to the world.
Yeah.
But then we had Nathan Baldwin in the discus, 47.65 meters. We had Connor Ash in the hammer throw, 53.6 meters, and that is enough to get him the auto qualifying mark for nationals. And then our final male first place athlete, a name we're very familiar with here on the podcast, Mason Ostermeyer, first place in the pole vault, 4.81 meters. I think that's 15 feet 9 inches, and that got him the auto qualifying mark as well.
There you go. So we got a few in there. Was that the A standard, B standard?
That was A standard for sure.
A standard.
Because like the B standard was like around like 4 or something like that, around that area, like maybe like 14, 15.
Perfect. So he is on his way to nationals.
Yep.
It didn't really say on the results this time if it was the A or the B, so I'm just going by it's one of the standards at least. But yeah, that pole vault.
We have a primary source that says it is, so.
Perfect. But then we'll go to the first place females. We had four of them. Well, actually, four athletes, six first places. We had Trinity Tools in the 800, 2:17.83. We had Ellie Jander in the 5K, so we took first in the men's and women's 800 and 5K.
There we go.
So we can get that distance squad is definitely pulling their weight this week.
Absolutely.
So Ellie Jander got 19:41.89 in that 5K. Then we had Addison McCarter in the triple jump, 11.62 meters, and that was an auto qualifying mark.
All right.
Wow.
And then probably our top performer of the day for any athlete, Abigail Gerber. She got first place in three different events. Discus, 42.12 meters. Hammer, 49.87 meters. And shot put, 14.4 meters. And that shot put was enough for the auto qualifying mark.
Bravo, bravo. Wow,
bravo.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm an athlete. I didn't even know this one was going down with the two. I'm saying that.
So four first placers in six different events. Love to see that. We'll go to the male second place. We had four of those. Trevor Kunzel. That's
Kunzel, okay. Yeah.
Yep. 1500. He got second in that with a 409.09. Then we had Josiah Edwards in the hammer throw with 50.35 meters. Nathan Baldwin, he got first place in that discus. He got second place in the shot put, 15.3 meters. And then we had our very own Aaron Spivey in the triple jump. Do you know what your mark was?
I remember it was 13.69 on that one.
Yes,
right,
it was 13.69.
Attaboy.
To get second place in that event.
What's the qualifying mark for that?
For qualifying for triple jump is a high one. You gotta jump like a 49 or like 50.
Oh, really?
Like that was like for like a 14.38 or 14.49.
Is that for the B standard or the A?
That's like for B. You're close. Like for A standard, like you're getting close to like 49, close to like high 49 feet on that one.
So what's your goal then? For this season, are you trying to shoot for that B standard?
I don't think. I mean, that's like a side goal. My main goal is to like basically jump 46 feet in my entire life. That's what I'm trying to do. It's getting close. We're getting close.
Yeah, you're on your way there.
Yeah, I know.
44 something.
Yeah, 44 right there. It was 44.11 on that jump right there.
All right, so you're about a foot away.
Foot away. Maybe like
foot and some change.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's like. Full away on that one.
Is that your career mark?
My career best mark is 45.10. That was like we were close to 46.
Oh, yeah.
Freshman year, I jumped 46 feet, but it didn't count because I scratched by like a hair of it. It was like very.
That sucks.
You got it in you though.
I know. He's gonna take some time with
it. We'll be watching you this weekend.
I appreciate it.
But moving on to those women's second place finishers, we had three of them. We had Addie Reimer in the high jump, 1.61 meters. We had Kiki Nianuk in the long jump, 5.58 meters. And then we had Josie Noble in the triple jump, 11.29 meters.
There you go.
Very successful day. What is that? 7-11. Math is hard.
Was it what,
17 top two finishers.
What meet was this? Was this here?
This was here.
It was
this
here.
Yep, over the
April 5th one, the Concordia invite.
Okay, yes. Cool. And then, when is Nationals for outdoor? It's not till later on, right?
Like May 20-something, like maybe like around like that area.
Yeah, May 21st is the first day. It's in Marion, Indiana.
Okay.
And then when's conference? Conference is May 3rd, so they give about 3 weeks in between conference and nationals with two meets in between.
Now, mind you that the like conference is different than indoor and outdoor season. Outdoor is all of like the top 24 for outdoor, and then for indoor is like the top 18.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, yeah, so it's like, this is a chance for everyone else to make it, but like...
Are there more athletes in the outdoor? Why the difference?
Outdoor season, because you got people that are in football, basketball, obviously those ones, that's like, you gotta think about those ones.
I see, yeah.
But so there's a couple more spots for all the different events of the outdoor season.
Absolutely.
Okay, sweet. So we might see a couple more Bulldogs in action in Marion, Indiana in May.
Looking forward to it.
But looking forward just real quick, we've got a meet coming up tomorrow. We're recording this on Friday, April 11th. We've got the Hastings College Bronco invite tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. in Hastings, Nebraska.
All right. I could have guessed that.
Yeah. Hastings? Hastings Bronco, probably in Hastings.
Yeah. Is that a GPAC? What, like, who all gets invited to these? Is it just whatever schools want
whatever to school wants to come into these ones, or basically by the schedule with it? That's all.
Whatever works.
Whatever works.
So UNL, bigger schools can be there theoretically.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they want to.
Like UNK's at a bunch of the same meets that we are. That's right. A good D2.
Yeah. Yep.
Iowa Western's at quite a few of them.
Yep. They were at that one as well too.
Yeah. You get a lot of those D3s.
Mostly three.
Like Nebraska Wesleyan will be at a couple.
Yeah. Yep. Well, talking about conference season, playing conference opponents, we have had a team who is in the midst of their conference season and that is baseball, and they're doing pretty darn good too. 26-8 is their record on the year, 14-2 in the GPAC. They're still sitting pretty at number 17 in the nation. They've only had the Hastings series since we've last talked, so that's just two games. Monday, April 7th, it was a doubleheader. This was the series that was going to be played Friday, but there was drizzle and then like slightly less than optimal temperatures.
It wasn't 70 and sunny, so they
It wasn't play. 70 and sunny, so they canceled.
Believe me, I'll tell you that one.
So they postponed to this past Monday, but... That obviously the delay didn't affect the morale of the team because it was a two-game sweep. This was a series of broken records as well, but we'll get into that. Game one started at 2 p.m. We won 4-1. Wind was blowing inward directly from center field, and I don't think the flag was drooped at all that evening. It was just straight towards center field, so favored the pitchers for sure.
Okay, so it was coming back at the batter.
Yeah, so it's kind of the opposite. What was the other
series? That Waldorf series.
Where Jaden Quinn broke the record, and every fly ball was making over the fence. I don't think a fly ball, there was maybe three fly balls that made it to or past the warning track. Wow. Which was good news for Christian Gutierrez, who got the start for the Bulldogs, which is where we introduce our first record. Gutierrez has 26 career wins coming into this game, and the record is set at 27 by Nick Little.
All right.
Gutierrez has meant a lot to this pitching staff throughout the past. He's a grad senior, right?
Yes, he's the grad senior. Yes, because he had some injuries early on in his career.
That's right. So he's been here for 5 years, but he hasn't been healthy for all of them. So this is still a very impressive mark to get. He already has the innings pitched record. So now he's going for the wins record. And how did he do with that in mind? 7 innings pitched. Mind you, it's a doubleheader, so it's a 7-inning game. Complete game. 4 hits, 1 earned run. He only walked 1. He struck out 8. The only run came in the top of the third, and that was extended by an error by the shortstop. So, also, by the way, Plum Creek, it was bad for everyone because the infield is kind of notorious. The infield grass is kind of notorious. So sometimes you'll get those ground balls, and I think it was Jimmy Bloomberg at short for us and just caught a wrong patch.
They bobble a little weird on our grass.
caught a wrong patch of the dirt, and I think it just went right through his legs. Mm. So that extended the inning. So it's an earned run for the pitcher. This is another weird baseball thing. It's an earned run for the pitcher, but it's a team unearned run. Because how you look at it as a statistician is, but for that error, the inning would have been over and the run wouldn't have scored.
Interesting.
That's
so
very interesting.
It's a team unearned run, but it, unfortunately for Gutierrez, it goes against his record. Doesn't matter, though, because he only allowed one of those things.
Right.
And the offense came through 4-1, so again, not the fireworks we're used to. We scored 1 in the first, 2 in the third, and 1 in the fourth. That was more than enough to put the, who did we play, Hastings? What are they, the Broncos?
Yeah.
Put the Broncos down. There was one home run, not a lot of home runs in this series. The only home run in this game came off the bat of Matthew Roach, who is, again, having a great year. He was 2-for-3 with 1 RBI. His solo home run came in the fourth inning. Ty Nikolajczyk, leadoff man, second baseman. He also had a pretty good day. He went 2-for-3, 1 RBI, scored 2 runs. That brings us to game 2, and we have another record. So,
is this the one we've been waiting for?
This is not the one we've been waiting for.
Seriously?
We're going to be waiting for that one for... You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see. I'll break it down a little bit. But with less wind means obviously less power, less fly balls to the outfield, less home runs. So you got to start playing a little bit of small ball. You started got stealing bases. You maybe think about buntings, different squeezes, things like that. Now, we have a specialist for that. His name is Zachary Day. He was sitting at 69 career stolen bases heading into this series. He is our best courtesy runner. Now, this is interesting. So you may go and you look at the baseball stats and you say, well, I wonder, Zachary Day, obviously, you think about MLB baseball, the best steal guys are all the best guys that can get on base. So you think about, you know, like Jose Altuve, Ricky Henderson, all these guys that are fast, but they had high on-base percentages throughout their career. Look at Zachary Day's numbers. Offensively, they're not all there. So what gives? This is something I just learned recently. NAI level has a courtesy runner. So usually in baseball, when you pinch run for a guy, you take that person out of the game. So Jaden Quinn hits a double, you need a run, so you put Zachary Day in for Jaden Quinn, you lose Jaden Quinn's at bat for the rest of the game, which is why you don't see pinch runners all that often in the major leagues. In the NAI, you have a courtesy runner. So Zach Day can go in for Jaden Quinn when he's at second base, and Jaden Quinn can still man third, and he'll still be up to bat the next inning.
Is there a limit on that?
See, now, that's where you got me. I'm still trying to figure out the limits
to it. Seems then you just get a bunch of fast kids. You just go to the track team and pull some of their guys.
Exactly.
And courtesy run everyone.
So, yeah. I think it may be like a one per person rule.
Oh, yeah, like once per game you can.
And
you can
something
throw.
Like that. But I've seen Zachary Day pinch run multiple times. And I think that maybe the first time is a courtesy runner. And the second time he goes in is as a pinch runner, which takes that player out.
Okay.
I think that may be it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. So, this brings us to the bottom of the second inning. Michael Welsh, our catcher, he draws a walk. And being a catcher, not the fastest runner, we put Zachary Day in. There's a runner on second, but fly ball to the center field vacates second base. Zachary Day goes, and he gets stolen base number 70. That passes Jerry. Help me out here. Are you looking at the... It's Dittenber? I'm sorry,
that's
Jerry.
That's how I'd say it.
I'm sorry,
Dittenber. I'm getting close with it.
I'm sorry, Dittenber family, if you're watching this podcast. But he also broke the stolen base record for the Concordia program. And just for good measure, he also stole number 71 later, so he's padding his lead a little bit. Also, to make things even better, Monday was Zachary Day's 21st birthday.
Wow. So, we can go celebrate.
So hopefully he celebrated responsibly.
Very responsibly.
So maybe it was all a conspiracy that the game was moved from Friday to Monday.
Ooh, he wanted to be able to celebrate his...
Wanted to be able to break it on his birthday.
Exactly.
That's a happy birthday to that
one
right
there. Smart plan,
yeah. It's very smart.
Zachary Day was operating the weather machine and made it drizzle a little bit.
He was in the ear of all the coaches and the officials like, guys, it's raining. I don't know if we can play today. Monday looks beautiful.
It was a nice day other than the wind, but yeah. Good call, Zachary Day, if you were operating the weather machine. However... Concordia offense needed that small ball production because, again, there was only one home run in this game, and luckily it was ours. Concordia, as a whole, was held to 4 hits and 4 walks.
Whoa.
But we made the most of running on runners in scoring position, and we were able to drive a few base runners we had home. Jaden Quinn, sorry to disappoint. He had a good game, but just not the good game that you're looking for.
Right.
Officially, he goes 1 for 1 because he drew 2 walks. And in both of his at-bats, they were like... 7, 8, 9, 10 pitch, just master classes where he's laying off of really close pitches and he's able to muscle out a walk. He had a good day, and Jaden Jordahl, left fielder, batted in 2 of the Bulldogs' 3 runs, going 1 for 3 with 2 RBIs. He had our only home run in the third inning with a 2-run shot to left field. Right. On the mound, we had Micah Sweeten, so we went back-to-back Californians. Gutierrez, Micah Sweeten. Also, Zachary Day is a Californian, so...
Represent the West Coast.
Eat your heart out. And Micah Sweeten got another great outing for the freshman. 5 innings pitched, 4 runs, 0 hits. Five innings pitched, 4 hits. He did not allow in 4 runs because he allowed 0 earned runs. Walked 3, struck out 8. Dayton Schmidt came in the bottom of the top of the 7th to get his 7th save of the season. That was Micah Sweeten's 5th win of the season. Not bad, true freshman. And that's a 9-game win streak.
All right. Well so done to them.
You put those together, and I'm sorry, the Jaden Quinn home run tracker is not as exciting this week.
Not quite. But it keeps us on the edge of our seat for next week.
So, that's right. He's still sitting at 15. He's at 88 for his career, and he needs, 12 more for 100?
For 100, yep.
12
yep.
more for 100. More. So he may have a chance at that. Next game is also tomorrow, April 12th. Versus Mount Marty in Yankton, South Dakota. This will be our last road trip of the regular season. After that, they are back. They play their senior day is almost immediately after they get back from South Dakota, and then they have one more series. So they have this Yankton series, 2 more series at home, and then that's it. Then you're looking forward to conference playoffs and what's going to happen there. So that's wrap. That's a wrap on baseball. But we hate to be Debbie Downers, going from one streak to another streak.
The kind of streaks we don't really like around
here.
Tell
us about the lesser appealing streak that's happening in Concordia right now. Yeah,
so, unfortunately, I'm checking the Bulldog Twitter right now.
Okay, what's it say?
Officially, as of 40 minutes ago, the softball losing streak has been extended to 6.
Nah, 6?
Not good.
To 6 games.
Oh, dude, no.
So, we just lost... 40 minutes ago, 2-0 to Doan.
Doan, huh? I think they're pretty good, actually, at softball. For as much as I file Doan away as being bad at most things, I think they're actually pretty good at softball.
Just saying the rival school's name,
it
doesn't taste good when you do that. When you're like, no disrespect to Doan players and everything like that. It's normal for us as well, people with it.
And then they just started up the second game of the series, so hopefully they can bounce back.
Let's end it.
It's in Crete right now. Unfortunately, it was a 5-game lose streak before this because we talked about that Midland series where they took one off of a pretty good Midland team. But lost the second one. Then they went on and lost both games against Northwestern. This was the one in that dome at Dort.
Oh yeah,
where
that's
they
right.
kind of were at like a neutral site.
So okay, what happened?
See, even though there were more games, this might be a shorter segment than baseball because we didn't do well offensively. So,
oh my God.
Not much
yeah, I'm
to
looking,
talk about.
I'm spoiling myself. I'm looking at the scores
9-0
on Kai's computer.
9-0 loss in the first game, cut short in 5 innings.
Oh, so, okay, yeah. So, doubleheader, right?
Yeah, so it would be 7 games.
7 innings. In 7 innings normally.
Yeah, seven-inning game.
We got run ruled at 5?
Yeah, and they didn't. We batted first, so they only did 4.
Wow.
Northwestern only batted 4 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And then second game was a little bit closer, 6-2. Then after that.
It's the indoor. It's the indoor. We're not used to it. That's what that is.
Well, until you get to April 8th, where we play Morningside in Sioux City.
Are we sure that wasn't indoor? This could have been indoor.
Anything's possible, though. Maybe didn't see, I mean, you can look at that.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
I don't think it was indoor.
Yeah, speaking of it, I did look it up, obviously, to see where like Doan is after like, in the softball with it. They're sitting like number 5 or number 6, and Concordia's right under them. Like, they're,
yeah.
Like, it's like right there.
They've been pretty good at the bat and ball sports, I believe. I think they're pretty good in baseball, too.
Unfortunately, they're doing well against us right now.
Yeah, not good.
But yeah, so the Morningside series ended up losing in 5 innings again in the first game, 8-0, and then 7-1 in the second. So we only got 3 hits.
Where are the runs? Are they coming off the did you look at the box stores, our starter? Are they coming off our ace? I forget her name. Megan.
Yeah. Urich. So if we look at the first series, that 9-0 and 6-2 loss against Northwestern, that game was kind of to be expected because Northwestern's number 7 in the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll give them a little bit of grace on that one. Megan Urich, she pitched the first game. She only made it 4 innings, so she pitched the whole game. But 10 hits, 9 runs, 2 strikeouts. So a little bit unfortunate to get 9 runs off of 10 hits.
That is unfortunate. Walk numbers.
Ooh, let's
Does
find
they have that
let's
there?
Find that out.
I guess she was kind of due for a stinker because she's been so good this
she's
whole season.
She's been really good. She only walked 1.
Yeah, that is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Usually, like I think a good. I mean, it could be different for softball, but just for my familiarity with baseball box scores, when you get like 10 hits, you probably expect 5 to 6 runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like half the number of hits is how many runs you get. So that's indicates she's pitching to a little bit of bad luck.
A little bit, game. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and what's even crazy? 10 hits
isn't good though.
No.
Yeah, not great, and not great strikeout numbers either in this one. But then kind of the same theme we've been seeing in the two-game series, Kaylee Dennison came in to pitch the second game, made it 6 innings, allowed 6 hits and 6 runs. So, again, pretty unfortunate. We were talking last week about the left-on-base numbers.
Yeah, are they
so
bad again?
They were.
You
they
had
were,
the offense, too. Obviously, we got run-ruled, but...
Yeah, so in the first game, we didn't score. We left 4 on base in that first one.
Yeah.
In the second game, we lost 6-2, and we left 6 on base.
Still, those aren't crazy on base numbers. Like usually you're talking about having a issue when you get into like you left 13 on base,
double digits,
12
okay.
on base. But gotcha. When you're 4-6, that's like a normal. I'd say that's probably average for
okay.
what you'd leave on base in a game. It's just a matter of getting more folks on base.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, in that second game, our hit numbers were a little bit better. We only had 3 in that first game. But we had 7 in the second one. We had 2 runs in that game. Those came courtesy of Delaney Voschel and Lacey Joseph. We had an error that led to one of them, so we only had 1 RBI, and that was Aubrey Brunning.
Good work, Aubrey.
Yes. So they both came in the second inning. Aubrey hit a single that brought in Delaney, and then an error allowed Lacey to get in his score as well.
Yep.
Right.
So like a 2 RBI play.
We'll give her 2 RBIs.
In essence, but an error kind of helped.
She's got
Lacey
2 RBIs
on
the,
that one.
She's got 2 RBIs in the Talking Dog scorebook.
Yes, she does. So then the second series of the week was that Morningside won 8-0 and 7-1 in the 7-1 in the second game.
Same story.
Yeah, very similar to that first series. We left 6 on base in both of those games. So not like you said, not
That's
horrible,
not,
but not the numbers. You'd
it's
like.
That's not why you lost the game.
Yeah. So Megan Urich also had not a great game in this one. She started the game and pitched just 2 innings. She gave up 4 runs on 6 hits and only struck out 1. And then Taryn Ganstrom came in for that 3rd inning, also pitched 2. Very similar numbers, gave up 4 runs off 3 hits. So very unfortunate with that.
Yeah.
Very
sometimes a team just got your number.
Yeah. And then things started off a little bit better in the second game. 3rd inning, we got there without any runs for either team. But unfortunately, Then Morningside got 5 runs on 4 hits in the bottom of the third inning.
I think in softball, just given the short field, and especially given the smaller infield, I think just based on what I'm hearing, you're more liable to get runs per hits. Like, I think the hits per run number is higher.
Right, that seems to be...
No. Runs per hit number is probably a lot higher in softball.
Yeah, and it seems like they, in a lot of these games, they're streaking together points.
Yeah, yeah. You get your runs in bunches.
So, yeah.
Not good game.
Not good game. So yeah, they got four hits, 5 runs. We got 1 run in that game. It was Taryn Ganstrom in the top of the 5th. Jennifer Katz got a double, which brought in Ganstrom. Kaylee Dennison got most of the action on the mound for Concordia. She had 5.2 innings, 11 hits, 7 runs, struck out 5, and then sophomore Jordan Heed came in to play the final batter of the game.
Yeah.
Right.
And got a strikeout.
There you go.
So 100% on that one.
That's good. That's a good way.
Yeah, so records now. Pretty still okay overall, 20 and 14, but looking rough in the GPAC, 5 and 7.
That's what matters too.
I guess 5 and 8 now. Yeah. Now that Doan game was dropped, and hoping that we can get a bounce back in the second Doan game. I'm looking at the Twitter, there's no updates as of now, which I think means no score because they're usually pretty good about updating these quickly. So
is it Jake who runs that Twitter?
I imagine so.
He's got a lot on his plate.
He has a lot to do.
Yeah. I saw him running around at the baseball game. It's like, wow.
Yeah, because he does all the sports.
He does all the sports.
So you look at any sport on the website, and he's got an article recently for it.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta give that man props where he's doing everything,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And his articles are always amazing. Those are our references for a lot of these.
Yeah, no, unknown secret is Talking Dogs, we are just reading verbatim the Jake Knable articles.
Yep.
Me and Kai have no personality.
We copy-paste into a Google Doc.
Yeah, we're just good reading.
Very good at reading.
Talking about a recent Jake Knable article, I saw a Jake Knable article talking about our powerlifting team. Did you able to copy and paste that? Do you want to read some of that info?
We can read Jake Knable's article verbatim here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
But yes, powerlifting had a very successful nationals trip. We mentioned last week that we had an individual champion.
Yes, Riley we did. Ladd, yeah, oh yeah, that was nuts.
The headline act for the Bulldogs, as she got first place in the 52-kilogram raw category. So they
in the nation.
Yes, in the nation. This is all division as well.
Wow.
So she was beating like Texas A&M, University of Miami, all that kind of stuff.
Like all Power Five schools like that.
Every school is if they have a powerlifting team there.
Right. In that weight group, which was 112 pounds.
Yeah, just about that. So they have two different categories. They have raw and then equipped. So equipped is you get your sleeves and your bench vests and all that. This one, I don't even think I looked at some of the pictures and no one's using straps in any of them.
Okay.
I think even like deadlift, you can't even use straps on deadlifts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy impressive.
I think you get a belt and that's it.
Okay, that completely recontextualizes how I think of like that makes her lift so much more impressive because at 112 pounds, it's so much more of a grip thing too.
Right.
Because what did she have like 350 on deadlift? Right.
Yeah. It was around there. On here, I have it all written down in kilograms because that's what they go by. But we'll convert it real quick. It was 150 kg, which is 330 pounds.
Here, I'll get the calculator out.
And so she weighs one. She weighs 113, I think it was, and she's pulling 330.
Yeah, with no straps.
With no straps
and no belt, right?
I think they use a belt.
They probably use a belt.
They probably have to use a belt for the safety, so they won't like break their backs and stuff. Yeah, like that. So they probably have to use a belt for sure.
Let's see.
Yeah,
we're going to go to a Jake Knable article to. So I'm looking at one of our guys squatting, and he's got a belt on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think belt's probably just the bare minimum. That's the floor.
Yep. They don't even consider that equipped. That's just an expectation.
Yeah. Which I guess makes sense because there is also a safety aspect there.
Right.
But what's the rule of thumb? I don't know. I don't know what kind of lifting soccer does, no offense, but
hey, our lifting coach is the powerlifting coach.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's got a little bit of different programs for you guys.
Oh, definitely. No.
I think I've been told in my sports career that a belt adds 50 pounds to your max.
Oh, really?
Does that sound about familiar? That sound about right?
Yeah, just thinking about when I used to lift heavy. See, yeah.
Case in point right there.
Seems about right. Just depending on the lift, I don't deadlift anymore.
Yeah.
So.
And no, I don't blame you. I'm done with football now. I'm never doing a power clean again in my life.
Oh, I love power clean.
I hate power clean.
I'm more of a squat type of guy. Ooh, with yeah. I like squats.
They say power clean is an explosive lift, and I feel all of that explosion in my knees.
Uh-oh. Yeah. But I don't use a belt for power clean.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think it's one of those that you really need it for.
No,
you're using more of your hips on that one. You need all like basically all the like movements where you use that.
Right,
one
right.
Yeah,
but yeah, squat for sure. I'd say I can go up a little bit higher when I'm using a belt.
I think 50 is the general rule of thumb.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so she weighs about 113, and she deadlifted 330.
So at the time that we announced these results, the contest was still ongoing.
Yes.
So we have the rest of the results.
Yes, yes. And just real quick, she had a 286-pound squat as well.
Yep, that's right. Stupid.
But then we had some other really good performers. We had Taylor Headke was the next best Bulldog, and she got third at 60 kilograms. So we'll
she's 132.
132 pounds.
Yep.
Mm. She got the same squat and deadlift, 170 kilograms.
374.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And then 82.5 kg bench.
Is 181. So a plate and a 25.
And then Taya Badger was in fourth place in the 100 kilogram division.
220.
She squatted 190.
418.
Deadlifted 185.
That's going to be 407, so four plates.
And then bench 92.5
is 203, almost at two plates.
You know what the craziest thing I just realized? So, obviously, you know, Taya, she's got insane squat and deadlift numbers, but then Riley has a higher bench.
Riley
at 113. Check it again, a 97.5 kilogram bench.
Yeah, no, we were talking about that. That's 214.
214, and she weighs 113.
That's almost like close to
double. That's like double.
That's like double.
That's like me benching 340,
which you can't do.
I can't.
Why you gotta do it like that?
Not even close. I don't think I could push that off the rack.
Yeah, that's it. You should try it. I'm not saying that. Sometimes when people like want to see if they can attempt a certain weight, you like make sure your like frame is ready for the weight. So just put mm-hmm. 315 on the bar, and then you can just lift it up, yeah. up and off the safety rack.
I'll have you guys spot me.
I'd be
that.
Curious.
I'll
to see.
Do that on the right side for sure. I've definitely heard that.
I'd be curious to see what would happen.
Could there. I even push that off?
It's more of a test of your bones.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So now if he was squatting that, I think I'll be sure he'd be safe. Probably for sure with that one. I think I can squat that with ease on that.
Yeah. How's your humerus feeling? Your ulna and your radia. They're gonna be tested.
Very tested.
Yeah.
I think I won't try. I guess the equivalent squat would probably be near the 500s for me.
Yeah, don't do that either.
We're not going to try that. Yeah. But speaking of someone who about a 500-pound squat, we had a freshman, Wyatt Hosick.
Wyatt?
My buddy from public speaking. We get to
good? Was he good at it?
Depends on the day.
Okay, all right.
He's had some good speeches, though.
If he finished each one of his speeches with his max squat, I'm sure they go a lot better.
Very impressive.
Absolutely.
But while he is usually pretty good in public speaking, he is certainly excellent in the lifting heavy things category.
Let's hear it.
So, he weighs 60 kilograms.
Only 132.
So, 132-pound dude. 115 bench.
253. Not bad.
190-kilogram squat.
Talking 418.
And then a 220-kilogram deadlift.
That's 485, ladies and gentlemen.
So
five plates.
Add them all together, it's 525.
Which is 1,157.
So he is in the almost 1,200-pound club, and he weighs 132.
Yeah, I think the 1,000-pound club is like a good benchmark for a lot of people. Yes.
I give respects for those ones like that. I give you I give respects on that one.
Yeah.
And he is there at 132 pounds. And some.
Deadlift doing a lot of heavy lifting there. That's a nice deadlift.
Yeah, he's pretty short, so he said...
So he's built for it?
He's definitely built for deadlift.
Yeah.
He's only a freshman, correct? Like?
Yeah, he's a freshman.
Wow.
So he just missed out on All-American because All-American's top three.
Yeah.
But the winner was a senior, and then he was really close to the second and third place guys.
He's probably... If I like... just not knowing this guy at all, never have seen him in my life, and all I know about him is he's kind of short. I bet you he probably has room for improvement on the bench, because a lot of guys with like shorter arms mm-hmm. are able to like really get crazy bench numbers.
Yeah, you said him and Freddie are gonna work on his arch a little bit.
Yeah,
to try
yeah.
and squeeze a couple really, more pounds out.
Really
of
that. Game it if you can game that stuff. Yep. Oh man, because like when you're that strong, you're getting to the point where you're just. Your form, little tweaks, you're milking out poundage.
Yes.
So that's what they're looking for. And he's still got 3 years to develop. So definitely some strength gains to be made.
Yeah, great for a freshman.
But certainly they're going to be great. Working
that's like,
on.
That's amazing in my opinion. Yeah. That's amazing for that one. He got room to grow. Like...
And he's a Nebraska guy too from Cozad. So love Corn to see
fed.
Him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little farm kid. But that is all for Powerlifting Nationals.
As all for Powerlifting Nationals, it is worth noting that they do have another meet. It's the 2025 Concordia Collegiate Powerlifting Meet. That's going to be here Saturday, April 12th.
That's tomorrow.
Yep, that starts at 9 a.m. It's in the PE building, so not the walls, weight room, but the,
right.
but the PE weight room.
I wonder, okay,
I don't know
is
if
it
going to
be in the weight room
that.
Or is it going to be in the actual gym?
Oh, dude, you're right. It's in the, it says PE Center Gym.
Because like if it's in the weight room, that's like a small space for
right.
everybody.
Yeah.
Right there, so like,
so I wonder.
So I think you probably can go spectate.
Yeah, you probably can go look at that.
Pretty sure it's like the West, basically we're basically like doing like the intramural basketball things, like probably that one.
Yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
So
yeah.
if you have a son, daughter, roommate, boyfriend, girlfriend on the powerlifting team and you don't want to go for whatever reason, you can follow along at liftingcast.com. They'll be posting the live results up on that website.
Awesome.
So this is also an opportunity for some of the seniors on this Concordia team who didn't get to go to Nationals.
Right.
This
get is a their last hurrah.
This is their little last hurrah. So just, I guess this is kind of like their senior day. So just as a shout out, we'll go to the 2024-2025 Concordia seniors. Jack Freeman, Tyreek Fuller, Jack Hedke, Taylor Hedke, Kinsey Hauser, Abigail Velton, and Adam Widman. It depends on if you're German or not.
We'll go with Widman since we're Americans.
Widman?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess just make sure you don't offend a lot of Germans out there.
Well, I'm German, so I'm half German.
Yeah,
so.
I think.
Well,
so
never mind. Like, we're good then. We're good then.
Yeah. I think his great grandparents would have said Widman. So.
My dad would say Widman.
Widman.
Widman?
Yep.
Okay.
Widman. So good job, seniors. This is a great opportunity to go. One last, like you said, college hurrah in the home territory in the PE Center gym. So if you can make it, that'd be awesome. But there is a lot of things going on at April 12th. There's a lot of events.
Yes, we've got baseball away, but we've got softball at home.
Softball.
Did I mention that? I don't think I actually mentioned that.
Did you forget the softball or did you?
I think because we got games going on right now, so I forgot
do.
About the next one. So just
softball also is playing tomorrow. Are they home?
It's going to be at home against Waldorf.
Waldorf, okay. So maybe a nice little bounce back series.
Hopefully,
no offense to them. And finally, rounding off our action for this past week, I think tennis had some results come in.
Yes, they did. So tennis, especially on the women's side, has been killing it this year. We had a series this week for both the men and the women. They usually travel together and will compete against the same schools on the same day.
Yep.
But we actually had a couple different meets, I guess, this week. But we're going to focus on the Hastings series because...
In Hastings?
It was here, I believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, at the Bulldog Tennis Courts on Wednesday. And both teams ended up getting a 7-0 sweep against them.
I'd love to see it.
This has actually become a little bit of a theme for the women. They have 6-7-0 sweeps on the year.
Really?
They wow. are 14-2 overall, 4-1 in the GPAC. And their only loss was a 4-3 loss against number one in the conference, Morningside.
Yeah. So a lot of these are coming in the conference, it sounds like, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
which is really good.
Looking at their last... I guess just all their GPAC games, 7-0 against Mount Marty, 7-0 against College of St. Mary, 4-3 loss to Morningside, 6-1 win versus Northwestern, and then 7-0 win versus Hastings.
Really good stuff.
Just very impressive from them.
They're outdoors now, right? They're actually on the real tennis courts, not in the gym?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just going to shout out some of the athletes who are doing some good things. So the doubles pairings for most of these games, it's going to be... Because you get three different doubles games.
That's right.
Whoever wins two or I guess if you win all of them, you get the one doubles point. Then you go into singles. But those
still three, very weird how they score that.
It is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But those three doubles pairings are Shane Durman and Mariana Milano. Then it's Chiquira Durman and Alana Lopez Pagan. Then we have Alexa Richard and Tessa Blau. So those are your three pairings. They all won their matches against Hastings. And then those singles competitors, it's going to be Mariana Milano, the Durman sisters, Alana Lopez Pagan, Alexa Richard, and then Nina Milic.
There you go.
For that. The men also had a very successful day. Also a 7-0 sweep. The doubles pairings for them are Hugo Fuentes and Nick Velders, Ben Chisholm and Santiago Abadia, and then Grady Works and Manuel Rodriguez. And then those singles winners were Fuentes, Velders, Chisholm, Works, and then Joseph Melzer and Michael Bedrosian.
And this is all in conference play too, right?
This is all in conference play.
Great. That's so awesome.
The men are currently 3-2 in the conference, 11-7 overall.
Women are 4-1.
Yes. So the last couple GPAC games, they lost this morning. They played at 8 a.m. in Fremont against Midland.
What?
Yeah, it's
8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
That's worse than the cross-country deals.
Yeah,
at least the cross-country started at 10.
Yeah.
But 8 a.m. is insane. I mean,
I wonder if it was inside, because it says this one was at a YMCA.
I don't know.
So they were doing a cross country with like the mall walkers running the laps right above them.
Pretty much, they probably got the yoga or the water aerobics going on.
Yeah,
in the pool.
They had to work the NAI collegiate tennis match in between the body attack class.
Pretty much, and the Pilates.
Yeah.
and the swinging on the ropes from the ceiling.
Hats off to the YMCA guys. That's impressive scheduling.
Very, yes. But the men in their last couple of GPAC games, a 4-3 win against Mount Marty. Just like the women, a 4-3 loss to Morningside, and then a 4-3 win against Northwestern, 7-0 against Hastings, and then 4-3 against Midland with a 5-2 win against Mount Marty earlier in the year.
So the losses are tight losses. The wins are usually big.
Yes.
That's good to see. That's a good sign.
I see the positive out of that. I see the positive out of that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we've got the last GPAC match of the season coming up on April 16th. We've got Doan here at home. And then after that, it's the GPAC Tennis Championships.
On April 24th?
April 24th, yep. And nice. That'll be in Sioux City, Iowa. And then moving on to Nationals, if anyone makes it.
All right.
Alabama.
Seems like they're getting hot at the right time, which is always a good sign.
They definitely are. And then the women are playing Doan the day before on April 15th, also at home.
That's interesting.
And that'll be their last GPAC match of the year. After that, they have a game against Fort Hays State University on the 18th, but then it is on to GPAC tournament play for them as well.
Shout out tennis team, doing a really good job.
Lots of wins.
Yeah, some finishing notes on this episode. I think it's worth mentioning that football, and I'll let you talk about soccer, football is well into spring ball right now. Actually, they have their first scrimmage at 6 p.m. today, but episode will be out after that. I think Fridays, so this next Friday, which will be help me out here, what's the number on that Friday?
Next Friday?
Yeah.
It's
going to be the 18th, and then the 25th are both going to be scrimmages for spring ball, and those, I know the one for sure on the 25th, probably the one on the 18th that will be open to the public, so if you want to go check out some early football action, just see the Concordia Bulldogs, play the Concordia Bulldogs. Go ahead. It's not being streamed, though, so if you want to watch, only chance to see it live. And I think soccer, you said they're playing today.
Yeah, so if you want to come see soccer play against other teams.
Yeah, they're so fancy over there in soccer.
Nebraska Wesleyan will be making the short trip here tonight, and we'll play them. And then next Wednesday, it's kind of weird. It's going to be like a triangular. You know how they have those in like high school volleyball?
Like round robin?
Yeah, so it's like three teams and you all play each other.
Oh, I thought you were going to do I thought you were going to set up four goals and it was going to be three teams. Okay, no. That would have been kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
But so it's going to be basically a 60-minute game. Usually it's 90, but it's going to be a 60-minute game against each of the other two teams.
Sure.
And then that one's going to be here next Wednesday.
All right. Should be exciting.
And that one should be open as well. So if you want to pull up Wednesday night and watch some soccer.
How'd your Creighton game go? I know the soccer, by the way, for context, Concordia soccer played the University of Creighton Division I school. So,
and it didn't go great.
Oh,
no. We will not mention scores on okay. the podcast. Right. But
fair enough.
Hoping to bounce back.
I didn't know the score. Just for the record, I didn't know the score. I was not trying to set you up
there.
I was genuinely curious about
how
the Creighton.
It didn't go amazing.
Alrighty, well, big Creighton blowout aside, that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CU NewsHour on the website. And oh, dude, I messed it up.
You messed it up again.
Oh no,
we need to replace you right now.
Yeah, all right, Aaron, get in my chair. Gotta do the close. All right, deep breath. That will be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay in tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CU NewsHour and on the Spotify. You know what? I'm just going to skip to the end. From Cohen Carpenter, because this is why I'm messing up. I have to.
You have extra stuff.
I have to
you're
alter it.
About.
I have to, yeah. So, okay. From Cohen Carpenter, Kyle Brook, and Aaron Spivey, and everybody at the CU NewsHour newspaper, have a good day and go, Dogs.